Well, stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
May not accept you, because they may say, for you to be my friend, you need to have on Jordans, and you need to have on, you know, a Nike jacket, and you need to curse like me, smoke like me, make jokes like me, do whatever in the world I'm doing for you to be accepted. But I want you to know that the devil is a lie. Jesus has already accepted you, and I want you to know that's the best acceptance. Because when all of this is over, there's a judgment seat that's going to take place. Everybody's going to have to stand before a judgment seat. If you're a believer, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and he'll judge you as a believer based on the works you've done, good or bad. That's for reward. Then there's the great white throne judgment. That judgment is found in Revelation chapter 19. When you stand before that judgment, that means you didn't make it in. That means you're not a believer, because now the books are going to be open, and the judgment there, you will end up in the lake of fire. The Bible says that hell, Satan himself, death and the grave will all go into the lake. I seen a commercial for a movie that's about to come out. This robot type girl, amen, seemed like she's fighting pretty good. But there's one scene where the man says, I'd rather rule in hell rather than go to heaven or something like that. But I want you to know that he's not going to rule in hell, because hell don't last forever. Hell eventually ends up in the lake of fire. There is no, you people say, I'm going to party in hell. The devil is a lie. Ain't no party in hell, because hell ain't the last stop. The lake of fire is eternal torment forever and ever. Listen, get it right while you're on this side. And people will say, I'm just going, party like it's 1999. Well, y'all know 1999 and came and gone. We in 2019. The truth of the matter is, if an individual does not give their life to Jesus Christ, to hell they'll go, and from hell to the lake of fire. So don't look for acceptance in the world. The world does not love you. And people that are encouraging you to do worldly things don't love you. Because if they loved you, they'd encourage you to serve God. If they loved you, they'd encourage you to follow God's way. If they loved you, they pray for you that you would commit your life to Jesus Christ. I want you to know that there's a pull in the world. And the pull is to try to pull our kids into the worldliness, all accepting all kind of things. We see it on television now. They got two moms and two dads and all this old stuff. But you have to be able to tell your child, listen, just because the world's doing it, that don't make it right. Amen. They may pass a law that say it's okay to steal now. But I tell you, you go steal the wrong person's stuff and you might get shot. Just because a law get changed, don't make it right. And just because the law say two people of the same gender can be together, amen, that don't mean the consequence of age done changed. If you check, the highest penalty or the highest statistic for people to get AIDS is not that needle where you get blood transfusion. It's homosexuality. They'd even enhance drugs for it now. But I want you to know you accept it. Don't you listen to the devil. He'll sing a sweet song and say, hey, look, I love you. If somebody said they love you, but they called you to sin, they lying to you. What they're doing is they're lusting. They care about themselves. If somebody care about another person, the other person going to be more important than their own person's self-satisfaction. There's a difference between lust and love. A lot of times people don't know the difference. Amen. Listen, love is always going to be kind. Love is always going to take care of the other person. Love is always going to be righteous. But when it's lust, it's going to take care of self. Amen. So we need to know the difference. Everybody say, Jesus has accepted me. So I want you to know that you already accepted. Amen. You don't have to be the most beautiful. And that's the thing. You got young girls. I got to be beautiful. So I'm going to get the hair. I'm going to get the nails. I'm going to get the body. I'm going to do everything I need to do to look beautiful for somebody who really don't care. I want you to know, Jesus cares about you regardless of what you look like. Y'all ain't going to talk to me this morning. He cares about you because you're his. See, a real parent cares about a child because that's their child. Regardless of what that child doing, babe, I love you. You mine. You got my blood running in your veins. You got my DNA. You mine. And so it is in the spirit. Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and he said, I already accept you because you're mine. I want you to know, young ladies, you'll never be able to compete with the magazine because the magazine ain't truthful. Amen. It's airbrushed. Amen. It's cut down perfectly. Amen, somebody. So while we're trying to be accepted by all these different things, all men, the athletics, you know, hip-hop culture, rock culture, whatever culture you're trying to be accepted into, there's only one culture you need to be concerned about, and that's the kingdom of Christ and his culture, because that's the only culture that's going to last forever. Amen, somebody. So when you're saved, you're sanctified. When you're saved, you're accepted. But lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55 through 57. I shouldn't say lastly, I should say thirdly, because we got some more work to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57. And I want to thank God for all of you that came out to the revival. Listen, it touched you. There's a stamp placed on your life because of that. Talk to them about it in Sunday school. Amen. We may not agree with everything said, but I tell you, you can't disagree with the presence. Amen. And every time you're in the presence of God, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Where? In your spirit, man. And I guarantee you, there's some testimonies concerning people that would say, you know what? I've been touched. I watched some people who I know hadn't been delivered in a long time got delivered Friday night. I seen that. Who had just been traditionally walking the walk, but God touched them. That's what happens when people come together and consecrate themselves unto God. That's what happens when people come and preach the word of God, and you're in the presence of God for a series of nights. Amen. And you're not required to come to Alexandria, but from the 4th through the 8th, we're going to have revival out there. Amen. I'm going to preach three nights. I'm going to have two other preachers come and preach two more nights. Amen. And we're going to build the glory of God in Alexandria. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then we're going to run it again. I got three more preachers in Alexandria. They're going to preach for three nights. I know the power of revival. See, I asked all of you guys to read a book during this consecration. I don't know how many did it, but the book that I read was Acts 29 about this guy. He was a Muslim guy. In fact, y'all know his son. His son has preached it before from Trinidad. But all that this man did, once he got saved, he prayed, he fasted, he read his Bible, he preached revivals, and he built churches. Amen. So you have to ask yourself, what are we doing with our time with so many souls on their way to hell? Amen. So we have to set ourselves apart to go and do the work in the will of God. Praise the Lord, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57. God bless you. Scripture says, where, O death, is your victory? It tells somebody, death doesn't have victory over me. I'm saved. Now, see, you can't say that if you're not saved, but if you're saved, you can say, I'm saved. Because a saved person has been sanctified. A saved person has been accepted in the beloved. A saved person has victory over death. We are victorious. He says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Somebody thank the Lord. Hallelujah. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody may say, well, living saved is hard. No, it's not. You just need to get saved. Because when you get saved, it's no longer hard. Amen. You have victory through Jesus Christ. In all actuality, it's Jesus doing the work. It's the Spirit of God working on the inside of us when we really get saved. Tell somebody, I'm not talking about religion. Amen. That's a difference. Amen. You got people say, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Methodist, and I'm a Presbyterian. I'm Church of God in Christ, four generations. I'm UPC. None of that has any power. What really has power is you saying you saved, that you're a Christian. Don't you know people have split up over saying, you know, I'm a Baptist. I'm going to be a Baptist till I die. I'm this denomination. I'm Church of Christ. None of that has power. We're the same church. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we're believers in Jesus Christ. We've been born again. That's your power. The fact that we're born again, not your denomination. There's no power in the denomination. The power is in Jesus Christ. And when a person has a kingdom understanding, that's why they can say from every denomination, we're one. When you see people isolate themselves and say, no, our church got it, you got a coat, friend. You don't have the body of Christ. Amen. The body of Christ is one through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that we are one in Christ. Tell somebody, I'm saved, sanctified, accepted, victorious. Now, verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, y'all know we stayed here about 11:40 Friday night. Now, without that consecration, I'm being honest with you. I'd have been saying, now, Bishop, no. He know. These folk got to go to Alexandria. And but because of the fast, my heart is, if you have to leave, baby, just leave. Ain't no problem. But I know the foundation I came out of when I was in the world, when I was cursing, when I was arrogant, when I was fornicating, when I was drinking, when I was clubbing, when I was drinking and driving and didn't get caught, when I was doing all the sin I was doing, when I stole out of Walmart, when all these things that I done, I was an unbeliever. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and at 19 years old, he happened to allow me to get stationed in Fairbanks, Alaska. He happened to speak to me and tell me to go to the First Church of God in Christ. And when I went there, God began to deal with my heart. And don't you know, they had 4 or 5 services a week. They had district revivals. They had convocations, all kind of things. And I stayed my little heathen self right there, and I went to all of them. And I got full of the presence of God. God called me to preach. God called me to evangelize. He called me to pastor. None of this stuff was on the agenda. But I stayed in his presence. And see, every time you stay in the presence of God, your spirit man is being strengthened. Every time you stay in the presence of God, you're starting to understand your calling and your purpose, and you start moving towards it. But see, when you spend most of your time in the world, you start thinking worldly, and you start thinking the worldly way is right. That's why people say, well, I just think people ought to love whoever they want to love. Baby, you ain't read your Bible. Right before they start talking about it's an abomination for man to lie with another man, they talk about it's an abomination for a man to lie with an animal. Don't you know that's next? If a man can lie with a man, hey, well, man, dog is man's best friend. What's wrong with me getting with my dog? That's my dog. The government can't tell me what to do with my dog. And don't you know that's how crazy the world will get? You think it's funny now. Y'all don't know what be happening in Singer and Maryville, little country places. Folk that got little sheep and goats. You think it's funny. That was a saying, lust don't have no face. And when lust is alone, lust can do some wild things. I ain't going to get too deep in this because y'all got kids. But lust will take you farther than you ever want to go. That's why you have to cut it off. Tell somebody I'm saved. Which means I'm sanctified. I'm accepted. I'm victorious. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16, the writer Paul here is talking to Timothy, a young bishop who's overseeing the region of Ephesus. He's laid hands on Timothy. He's prophesied to Timothy. He's taught and trained Timothy. Now he's giving Timothy a charge. And in verse number 16, he says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life.
You're
listening to Pastor Hilton Wells, pastor of Rivers of Living Water Church. If this message has been a blessing to you,